Mr. Campion's Falcon. A thriller by Philip Youngman Carter, dramatized for radio by Eddie Joy. With William Fox as Mr. Campion and Felix Felton as Mr. Porteous. Mr. Campion's Falcon.
Good afternoon, madam. Can I help you?
I'm Anthea Peregrine. Your Mr. Newgate rang me.
Of course, madam. About poor Mr. Matthews.
Yes.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Maxwell Newgate. We at the Drover's Arms would like to extend our deepest sympathy. We're all most distressed that you're, that the gentleman should have passed away. Your uncle, perhaps?
No, an old family friend. Father and I have been doing up...
That is to say, the day before yesterday. It was some time before any of us actually realized that he had passed away. I sent straight away for Dr. Penn, our regular physician, and he came at once. He treated poor Mr. Matthews for some time for his heart condition, and he was quite satisfied as to the cause of death. And so he spared us, and if I may say so yourself, any unpleasantness.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I then had to consider my legal position as an hotelier, or innkeeper, to use the legal term. There were Mr. Matthews' effects, including a valuable car in our garage. Although he was no stranger to us at the Drover's Arms, we really knew very little about his background, so to speak. Though naturally, I never inquired before this tragic occurrence. I assumed, if you'll forgive me, that he had recently retired, an engineer, perhaps? He seemed a very practical gentleman.
He was a very keen archaeologist. My father's a housemaster at Brett's school in Suffolk. And a couple of years ago, an ancient Roman ship was found near our playing field. Matty, he was helping us to dig it up.
How interesting. Most interesting. Yes, indeed. Well, I've taken the liberty of preparing a list of people you may wish to see if you're kind enough to assume responsibility and take charge of matters. I trust you will, for we know of no one else to whom we can turn.
Yes, of course. I'll take charge of it all.
I trust you'll not mind me saying that I'm somewhat relieved, Miss Berrigan. Now, here is the list. There is the vicar. We assumed he was Church of England.
That he was. Does it matter?
Well, I don't think so. And the vicar seems to agree.
Oh.
The funeral is arranged for 3 tomorrow afternoon.
That was very kind. I see you list the coroner. I thought if someone was under a doctor's care, he didn't come into it.
Well, in a case such as this, it was thought advisable that the coroner be told. Though Dr. Penn has answered all questions totally to his satisfaction. A straightforward heart attack, you may be sure. Our Constable Leatherdale, you see him listed here, removed certain items from the room for identification, you understand?
Oh.
Our village of Great Burden doesn't boast a proper police station, and the constable works from his home. And then there's the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He's just along the street. And also the bank. And I've also listed Russell and Clark, who are solicitors should you have need of them. And Miss Margrave is the florist at the foot of the hill.
You seem to have thought of everyone, Mr. Newgate.
We assure Miss Peregrine that if there's anything that I or my staff can do to further assist, you have merely to ask. We should be only too pleased to oblige.
Thank you for your help so far. Now, about my room.
I've taken the liberty of reserving your room for 2 nights. But, of course, you may stay with us much longer, should you wish, in the circumstances.
However nice your Cotswold country may be, I'd like to be back home in Suffolk by tomorrow evening. So I'll see as many people as possible this afternoon. I should be able to see most of them before dinner, I think. So I'll start straight away.
Miss Peregrine, good evening to you.
Good evening.
I've taken the liberty of instructing your waiter to set your coffee tray at a terrace table. I thought you would prefer the peace after your busy afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Newgate. That was thoughtful.
May I show you the way?
Thank you.
There we are, Miss Peregrine.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Peregrine, I must
mention that I've had an inquiry from another guest who asked the favor of a conversation with you.
I don't know anyone here. Is this why you suggested the terrace?
I think you should see him. Here's the gentleman now. I'll leave you to your chat.
Miss Anthea Peregrine? Forgive me for intruding. Of course I am. That is my intention. But I have excellent reasons.
I've had a very long day.
My name is Porteous, Claude Porteous. I am a stranger to you. As you were aware, indeed, anyone so gross, so grotesque as I is memorable. You would recall instantly any previous meeting. I wish to ask you something.
That much I had assumed. What do you want to know?
Oh, very civil. As could be expected of any friend of Mr. Matthews. A civilized, avuncular friendship is what I anticipated in that quarter. Alas, he is no more. But I understand that you are watching over his affairs.
Yes.
Well, that's very kind. A true proof of friendship.
Did you know Mr. Matthews?
Unfortunately, we never met. I came here, so to speak, to observe him. Which exercise must be forever incomplete. My vast bulk reduces my mobility and makes exertion dangerous for me. But eyes and ears can be hired. Tell me, Miss Peregrine, apart from yourself, and presumably your circle, do you know of any friend or associate of Mr. Matthews in the whole world?
No. Well, not that I can call to mind, now that you mention it.
Ah. Then I am in order if I address my inquiries to you.
That depends on what you want to know. If it's business, you'd better write to my solicitor.
I don't think it will work, young lady. This afternoon, you visited Police Constable Leverdale and collected certain personal effects which that noble guardian of the law had temporarily removed. Well, I'm in no way concerned with the papers which I saw you leafing through whilst you dined. They're unlikely to contain anything of the least value to me. But may I ask you to allow me to examine that briefcase from which I saw you withdraw them earlier and which is now beside your chair?
Why exactly should I allow you to do that?
Because it may be to your advantage. You have nothing to lose and perhaps much to gain. Even you must have your share of curiosity. Let me explain. Be so kind as to place the case on the ground, open to its widest top and bottom. If you please, Miss Peregrine, my time is valuable.
Very well. There.
Good. Now, put the case on its side, locked down, handle towards me. Yes. Now, on the underside, you will feel a small row of studs. They're intended to appear part of the binding.
Mm-hmm.
There are five of them. Am I right?
Yes, yes, you are.
Then press the ones at either side as hard as you can. We should hear a small click. Mm-hmm. Press hard. Ah, like so. Now, press the center stud and give a little twist anti-clockwise. Press very hard with your thumb. There, do you see?
Very ingenious. A false bottom. Should there be anything in it?
Certainly.
It's quite empty. Look, see for yourself.
Well, then you've been robbed, Miss Peregrine.
What?
That is, assuming you've had full charge of your late friend's property. Robbed of a considerable sum.
How do you know? I thought you said you'd never met Mr. Matthews.
I also said that eyes and ears can be bought. On Tuesday night, our friend placed £1,250 in £10 notes in that cavity. A large sum, occupying a small space. Next morning, he was dead. Well, of course, it was natural causes without question. I think we can rule out the hotel staff and the police as thieves. Both of them lacking information or temerity. Now, that case has been your constant companion since you collected it. It has a specialized lock which has not been tampered with, and is too delicate to force without jamming. It makes the position very interesting. You may wonder if you can believe a word I say. Well, as to that, you may please yourself. But I have not imposed on you without reason. And if you believe me, what should you do? It's your prerogative whether you heed my advice. But I would suggest that you do nothing at all.
And suppose I chose to ignore that advice?
My dear Miss Peregrine, there's only my word that the money ever existed. In an unrecorded conversation such as this, the spoken word is entirely ephemeral. If asked, I've merely to deny every syllable. I'm leaving this hotel tonight, and it's conceivable that we shall never meet again. I'll leave you with one last observation. Did you know that the late Matthew, James Matthews, wore a wig?
Ah, Albert Campion, the man himself. Good to see you.
How are you?
Come in, old man, come in. Amateur.
Thank you. Always nice to see you, Lewis. And I haven't seen this new lair of yours before.
Ah, not bad, is it? No more Whitehall for me. Though the rumor that I've left security isn't exactly true. You see, before you, Lewis C. Corcoran, executive of Omega Oil Security Division.
I say.
Will you help me celebrate?
Of course.
It was a brandy and soda usually, isn't it?
Thanks very much. Just a small one.
You know, all I've done here at Omega is change national security for the international kind. Much the same problems, just larger, if anything. And a suitable larger salary to go with it. It's a new world, Albert. Fascinating. Here we are.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers. Aren't you going to find this oily giant just a bit too computerized for your liking, Lewis?
Computers are only as good as their data. These people computerize everything. But let a little bit of grit get in the works, such as an unrecorded fact, and then there's trouble.
Or, in the case of personnel, a biased opinion would have the same effect.
And true enough.
Then they need your sort of old-fashioned watchdog with a non-mechanical bark, eh?
Exactly. And my kennel's right at the top. Only three people really know what the wording of my appointment really means. This office has every security device that's known, and I can spend a fortune as I think fit. No questions, just get results.
Lewis, I begin to suspect that you haven't invited me to these Olympian heights merely to enjoy the view. I gather you may have found a little piece of grit somewhere?
There is something I'd like your opinion on, Albert, if you could find the time. Your knack of being able to fade into a background and dig out information be very valuable. And if you do a bit of sleuthing for me, I can set up a very adequate expense account.
That's nice.
This looks like one of those problems I know you enjoy unraveling. Have you ever heard of Francis Makepeace?
Francis Makepeace? No, never.
Now, not surprising. Eminent as a geologist, but virtually unknown outside his speciality. I've got a file thicker than a novel and with maybe a better plot. Worked for Omega most of his life. Knows more about locating oil than probably any other man alive.
What's he done? Disappeared?
Right, first time. He's Omega's chief geologist until he retired 4 years ago, but we still have him on a consultancy retainer. Hates red tape, nickname the Boy Francis. Believe it or not, sometimes acts as if he never grew up. Took a lump sum on retirement as a pension. Whatever he's done, it was well planned. His flat in town is closed, sundry personal property gone, and his only other addresses are his bank and his club. Odd thing sticks out. We don't have a photograph of him anywhere. Not even a copy of the one in his passport. I can tell you his blood group, even give you his fingerprints, but beyond a verbal description, I can't tell you what he looks like. My Whitehall training makes me suspicious of people who don't like their photographs taken.
Maybe he doesn't want Big Brother Omega watching him so possessively. Mm. He's a free man. Why shouldn't he prefer to lead a life of his own? Mm. Well, what's so vital about finding him?
Simply this. Makepeace worked for Omega for over 30 years. He's that rarity, a genius. A sort of human divining rod, an inexplicable creature with a built-in radar for oil. And he knows Omega. He knows almost every secret of importance to the firm, and if he opens his mouth to the wrong people, it could have unthinkable consequences. not a question of where the oil fields are. No, it's what he knows about the value of the fields that's important. We must find him.
Do you think he's been bribed, perhaps?
No, it's not a question of money. That doesn't interest him. But the promise of adventure, perhaps. Or an absolutely free hand. The boy Francis asked, you see?
Yes, I see. Don Quixote, up to date. A lone adventurer against a mighty colossus. Or just Peter Pan and 64.
Or bits of all three. You have it exactly. But all that having been said, a very highly educated man who's held down a top job for many years with superb efficiency and ability. We're operating in very high-flown circles here. I feel your appearance of a slightly sleepy dilettante would reassure him if he spotted you snooping.
Oh, thank you.
The last thing we want to do is scare him deeper into his hole. And we've known each other long enough, Albert, for me to know you can't be bribed, quite apart from the fact that you're sufficiently well endowed to make any such offer a waste of time. But there are millions and millions quite possibly involved here. I'm sure that this is just the little mystery you so love to untangle.
Well, I do have a few days free, but you haven't given me all that many actual solid facts so far.
I've got quite a few more. I've had three men go over his flat. He bought a new suit recently, a good solid tweed. And we have the tailor's receipt. His tropical kit was left behind. But taken together, we feel he's still in the country.
You'll save a lot of traveling, if you're right.
Yeah, that's true enough. Also, there were several soil samples from various sites around the world, all labeled with Omega codes. No oil or anything commercially valuable found at any of these places. If there had been, it would have belonged to Omega in any case. His contract was watertight on that score. A few oddments. A bottle of lanolin from a chemist in the Forest Hill area of London. An odd press cutting. On one side, a piece about a flutter in Omega's shares. On the other, a gang of roughs attacking a man called Jay outside a Hendon dance hall. Lastly, quite unusual, an ancient Roman coin. Gold, Emperor Diocletian. Badly eroded with a marine worm cast still stuck to it, suggesting a recent underwater find. This may tie up with some very expensive skin diving gear and underwater cameras left behind.
Much suggested. A little really solid. Do we know this man, Jay, for instance?
Well, I had him checked out, naturally. Full name, Morris Jay. An unexceptional antique dealer apparently attacked by hooligans. The Omega shares flutter came to nothing and was forgotten in the day. We can't think of a reason why Makepeace should be interested in either side of the cutting.
Yet he was.
Yes.
I'd keep an eye on Mr. Jay, if I were you. What was that about a Roman coin?
Found in a crack at the back of an otherwise empty drawer. Valuable up to a point, but in poor condition. Not all that rare, either. Makepeace was a keen diver. He could have found it anywhere, skin diving around the wrecks in the Mediterranean, for instance. He's got quite a collection of ancient Greek and Roman earthenware pots and jars.
Has he now? I wonder. Now, let me think. Diocletian, you say? I won't claim to be absolutely accurate on dates for Roman emperors, but I think he was around AD 300, give or take 10 or 20 years. So if it came from a wreck, it could be from then onwards. Couple of odd facts, possibly no connection. How well do you know the Suffolk coast around the River Brett?
Brett? I can't say I do. Isn't there a Brett public school? Is that the place you mean?
That's the place. A couple of years ago or so, an old Roman ship was found near the playing fields. If Makepeace likes that sort of thing, he might have given the place a visit. Only, it was in the news the other day for another reason. They fished a chap out of the river there. Seems he might have been banged on the head before he went in. Chap called, Newton. Newgate, I think. Manager of a hotel in the Cotswolds. Police are a bit baffled as to why he was so far from home.
Are you thinking of looking in that direction?
From what I can vaguely recall, that wreck dates from well after Diocletian, so one of his coins could have come from it.
Yes.
I think I'll have a word with our mutual friend Charlie Luke at the Yard. He might care to give me an introduction to the local police, which would allow me to pay my respects in that quarter.
Mr. Albert Campion, pleased to meet you. You seem to know Charlie Luke at the Yard. How is he these days?
All zeal, Superintendent. He sends his regards. And to Mrs. Appleyard, of course.
Very civil of him.
I may have an interest in this man Newgate you fished out of the Brett, and Charlie Luke said you might receive me.
I'm much more interested in whether you can help the police, Mr. Campion. Do you know Newgate?
I may know why he was here.
So may I, Mr. Campion. That's my job. We've spoken to his staff at the Drover's Arms at Great Burden. Also to a local lady, a Miss Anthea Peregrine, who saw him a week ago. Can you tell me anything they haven't?
I can tell you that if Newgate was just a nosy parco who fell in the river, we're both wasting our time. But if he was banged on the head first, then I can see very considerable trouble.
You still haven't said how you might assist the police in our inquiries. Appley out here. Yes? About 5 minutes ago. Are you certain? Wait. Yes, if Coleman isn't making a fool of himself. No. Well, there's no law against it. Tell the mobiles to watch him if he moves. Yes? Yes, I'll be free in a couple of minutes. Right. Okay. Right, Mr. Campion. I'll make a concession. You're right in your guess that this is a murder case. That's no official. Newgate was here, apparently, delivering a car which had belonged to a man called Matthews. Seems that Matthews died at his hotel last Wednesday week. Now, this Miss Peregrine owns a cottage he was renting here at Brett, and she's looking after his affairs. The car's been found dumped in the mud at Brett Ness. Also, Newgate was stripped of identification. We were lucky to trace him from the few clues we had. Now then, Mr. Campion, I don't think Charlie Luke sent you here to waste my time.
Dear me, Superintendent, very conclusive. It makes the late Mr. Matthews most interesting. He would seem to be the key. Anything known?
A retired engineer. He used to work for a Belgian firm out in East Africa. He lived at Great Burden at the Drover's Arms until he found a place of his own. A few months ago, we found Miss Peregrine's cottage and eventually decided to rent it. She's been doing it up. The doctor at Great Burden was treating him for a dicky heart. Can you add anything to that?
Probably not. Except for the recurrent Miss Peregrine, in whom I feel I should take a closer interest, we seem to have covered much the same ground. I take it you're interested in facts, not theories.
Oh, do get on with that, sir. I haven't a lot of time.
Well, my bet would be that Newgate came here to find out more about Matthew. He'd probably uncovered some dirt about him while he was staying at the hotel, easy enough in his job. And so he thought he'd have a little snoop around in the cottage here to see what else he could dig up. Unfortunately, he met someone else on a similar errand, someone who doesn't care for competition.
And what was so special about Mr. Matthews?
A very good question. I can lay my hand on my heart and say I don't know the answer.
No.
I'm making some inquiries about a man who's gone missing, and it occurred to me that he might have been calling himself Matthews. I wonder. Oh, an idle passing thought.
By the way, there's a car number and a description of the driver. A man called Scott, Ginger Scott, about whom we know a thing or two.
Seems to be following you. Yes, he's been hanging around for a couple of days. I had noticed him. I was intending to ask him why later on.
Well, yes, if you think so, but tread carefully.
Certainly, Superintendent. I'm staying at the mainsail in Brett Village while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll stroll past the school on the way back and have a look at that old ship they're digging up. If I go by way of the cliff path, how close would that take me to this young lady's cottage?
Very close, Mr. Campion. Give Charlie Luke my regards when you see him and keep us informed of everything you come across, please. This is a murder inquiry, don't forget.
Apple Yard?
Superintendent.
Yes, Mr. Campion.
I'm calling from Miss Peregrine's cottage, Superintendent. I thought I'd take a peek through the windows, though I did knock on the door first.
What is it, Mr. Campion?
Oh, it's a mess, Superintendent. The whole place is a veritable mess.
A systematic job. I wonder if they found what they were looking for.
I doubt it somehow. Such thoroughness indicates a certain desperation, yes?
Yeah, I take your point.
Mr. Matthews, of course, becomes more interesting by the second. As does the good Miss Peregrine. I really must have a talk with her soon.
Perhaps not so soon. Oh? One of my men went to her house to tell her of the burglary. Met the housekeeper or char or whatever. Seems Miss Peregrine's bed wasn't slept in last night.
Oh, dear.
The housekeeper was in a tizzy, of course. Never happened before, she says. She's been kidnapped, that's what. We're none of us safe in our own beds, and she'd never have got off without leaving a message.
Kidnapped, eh?
Ah, melodramatic twaddle.
Quite agree. Still, odd, eh? Cottage wrecked, the owner vanished.
Excuse me, sir.
Son?
Ginger Scott, sir. He's parked his car on the cliff up there. Got a pair of binoculars. Very interested in us, sir.
Right, get him. Mr. Campion?
I would dearly love a few words first, Superintendent. After all, it's me Scott's been following. I have a certain right to the interview. You can have him afterwards. Hello, Ginger. Enjoying the view?
Here. What the hell? What's the game, then?
You tell me, Ginger. I'm intrigued.
You can't get in here. Here, come on, get off out of it. Who are you, anyway?
Switch off, and I'll tell you. Thank you, Ginger. We've never met before, but you know who I am, all right. You've been taking someone's money for the best part of a week to keep tabs on me. I want to know who, and I want to know why.
Get lost, will you?
Apply yourself to the view in front of us through the windscreen, and tell me what you see, and don't give me any more backchat. All right, I'll tell you. Down there at the end of the cliff, just above the shore, is the fisherman's cottage owned by Miss Anthea Peregrine. The cottage is at the moment being searched by several policemen because the lady seems to have disappeared. I want to meet her, as she may have some information which might help me. So, I want your help in finding her, Ginger.
Why should I help you?
Because behind me there is Omega Oils. Who's behind you, and which one do you think has the longer purse?
What's that supposed to mean?
What do you think it's supposed to mean, Ginger? Isn't it obvious? It means that either I can pay or you can pay. It's a very simple choice. If you tell me something which produces results, it'll be worth good hard cash. If you don't talk, then remember, there's already been one murder around here in the last week, and it looks possible that whoever is employing you may be involved in it. So, if you pay, it might be by way of time, inside. Which do you think is the better bargain? Now, where's the girl?
I don't know. Straight I don't. All I know is I've been paid to run a few errands and mainly to keep an eye on you.
Who pays you? Where and when?
I don't even know that for sure. The only bloke I know is Collins. Wilkie Collins. He's a con man, a right smooth talker. Bit of a fixer. I met him in the scrubs. When I come out, he staked me. But it ain't his money, I know that much. I get to call when they want me, and I goes and does the job, and then I get to call where the money will be. So far, it's always been there.
How do they call you? And how do you get your answers back?
Now, hold on. You ain't said how much yet, have you?
Very fair, Ginger. Very fair. 50 now, and that's all I've got with me, unless you'd like to take a check. No, I didn't think you would. If your information helps to settle my inquiries, then another 100. If it helps solve the Newgate murder as well, then another 100 on top.
What's your nosing into, then?
I'll do the asking, Ginger. You want this 50 or don't you? Now then, how do you get in contact?
Oh, you'll never believe this in 1,000 years. All right, I'll tell you. I call them on a radio.
A radio? Do you mean a walkie-talkie set?
That's right. There it is, under that blanket on the back seat.
Ah, so far, so good. Now, how do you call them up? You must have a call sign and a special time to make contact and a special place, I should think. These sets have a limited range.
My call sign's MacDonald. They calls me up and asks if it's the MacTavish, and I says, no, it's the MacDonald.
When and where do you talk to them next?
You're no great burden. Well, I know you do. I followed you from there yesterday. You know that big stone on the top of the hill on the London side of the village? Well, I have to be at the foot of that hill the day after tomorrow, at 6:45 in the evening, listening out if they want to call me.
All right, Ginger. I'll trust you that this is on the level. There's your 50, cash on the nail. You're selling me that walkie-talkie set, if anyone asks. Now, I'm going to stand in for you with it. So, just hand it over. If they want to talk to MacDonald this time,
They'll be talking to me.
This is Alpha. This is Alpha. Stand by for messages. Alpha calling Barney's Bull. Come in, please, Barney's Bull.
Not Barney's Bull, but O'Reilly's.
Alpha to O'Reilly's Bull. Still unsatisfactory. The source is not the one required. Try again, but not through anyone known to you. You can go to 5,000.
Understand, 5,000. I'll try. Good night.
To the angel Gabriel. Not Gabriel, but Michael. 072, not 073. This can't be a coincidence. Follow up urgently.
072, I see. Right away. Cheerio.
To Honest John.
Not Honest, but Willing.
Get the name of the firm through the clerk. Pay for this information. Then go ahead and travel if you have to.
Understood. Wilco, out.
To the MacTavish.
Hello, that's me. It's not the MacTavish, it's the MacDonald.
Walk up to the Burdenstone, then take the east path down to the spinney. Be at the stile by the spinney in exactly 5 minutes from now. No more messages. Closing down.
I think a fish is biting. Now then, just put the set back in its bag. Good. Now for a quiet country stroll on a fine summer evening, and we shall see what we shall see. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm afraid Mr. Scott abandoned his appointment. May I replace him?
You may, if you do not excite my dog. He's only lightly feathered, as you will observe. You introduce yourself as a replacement for Mr. Scott. You are tall, enviably thin, bespectacled, and appear to fit the name of Campion by every description I have received. Am I correct?
Up to that mark, faultless.
My dear Campion, you seem to be interfering in my affairs to an extent which I find impertinent. I look for an explanation.
Could you bring yourself to look at it from my point of view? I find myself being spied on by a small-time crook, and all the indications are that it's being done to your order.
I will admit such a viewpoint conceivable, but not acceptable. My interests in this must be paramount. I am secretive by nature and by way of business. My name is Porteous, Claude Porteous. We may have an interest in common in the activities of the late Matthew James Matthews. Now, can you enlighten me, or am I to regard you as an opponent?
I don't propose to show on some vague promise that I won't reach the same short, sharp end as the over-inquisitive Max Newgit. I trust any approach you have in mind will be a little more tactful than that.
I am not used to being treated with flippancy. Those remarks imply things you cannot substantiate, which lacks logic and wastes time. However, if you have any information which I could use, would it avail me anything to offer to pay for it?
Since acquiring Mr. Scott's radio, I have learned, for instance, that Barney's Bull can go to 5,000. Can I expect to do a little better?
Ah, yes, the radio. My methods may seem a little theatrical, but they get results and they amuse me. But I don't think money would interest you. But I could offer, well, perhaps a sketch by Goya, or a trinket for your wife, such as might be difficult to trace or suspect. Do I have your attention?
With Matthews dead, why not just trace his heirs?
Because there are discrepancies. I am not by any degree certain that the man who died at the Drover's Arms was who he claimed to be. There are indications of interchange in appearance and identity. It is a mystery which I intend to solve without the frustrations of rivalry. Can you contribute anything to justify my offer to you?
Until I know what your business with Matthews was, I'm not in a very helpful mood.
I'm not a dealer in penny packets. Matthews was. He was an amateur. But whether he was front man or acting for himself, I failed to discover before he died.
In what way was he an amateur?
In matters of money. properly understood, money is a dynamo of power. But let that dynamo get out of control, and it can wreak havoc. There were indications that he was taking a most incautious path. I will not answer for my methods or my morals in trying to prevent what, in my view, would have been a catastrophe.
I see. Miss Peregrine, I believe you may know the lady.
I have encountered her. She elected to be uncooperative and seems to have disappeared.
An interesting juxtaposition or phraseology. May one inquire if the disappearance was of her own volition?
Could it be otherwise? If I could enlighten you, I would. For a price, of course. Let us talk business. The matter which engages me may have a cash value of between £500,000 and £600,000. If the jigsaw making up the whole picture has, say, 100 pieces, then logically each piece is worth £6,000. Now, I think you have one piece. After a 10% commission for my private account, I can offer you a gift worth at least £5,400. If you will tell me everything you know about the late Matthew James Matthews.
I know nothing about him at all, I'm afraid. But I've now succeeded, I think, in locating all your friends hiding in the bushes around here.
Certainly cannot do business, Mr. Campion. That is a pity. As for Fritz, your own has now reached those silver birches just up the hill to your right. Good night, Mr. Campion.
Mr. Campion?
You were spotted.
Unavoidable. Name's Lampeter, Omega Security. Here's my pass.
Yes, I know. Wasn't able to meet you the other day, but Corcoran gave me a photo.
Shall we move on? Your fat friends over there have been joined by his mates.
So I see.
Yes, they think they're on their trail to Matthew. Certainly.
The fat one's called Claude Porteous. Ever heard of him?
Well, he's not in oil, I'm pretty sure of that. I'll try and find out.
He's by no means as bogus as he tries to make out. And he's interested in someone called Matthew.
May or may not have been our man Makepeace. I've been running an investigation on that. So I may know one or two of the aspects of the case rather better than you do. Here's my car.
I'm staying at the Drover's Arms. Shall we have a meal and a chat?
Good idea. Very useful to compare notes. In you get.
One eats quite well on two expense accounts.
Oh, I'm eating better than I used to.
Ex-police, I take.
Started as a constable. Transferred to CID. Did quite well. Doing better now. I've got a fair memory for faces, even if I say it myself. But your man, Porteous, is a new one. Not one you'd easily forget, either, is it, once you've seen it? There's something here which doesn't fit. Somehow I don't smell oil.
What other odors you detect?
Some odd, some old, some musty. Like that chap just going out.
50-ish, black curly hair, sad face, name of Morris J. Stays here quite often. Makepeace had a newspaper cutting about him.
That's him. Supplies the local souvenir shops with half their junk, otherwise known as antiques, but don't look too closely. Well off enough, but lives modestly. Do you think he's involved?
Why, he's got valid enough reasons for being here. Not sure. Look, can you give me anything between the lines on Makepeace?
Well, there was some tax trouble about 10 years ago, and the company wouldn't lift a finger to help him. Some clever who found out something and it cost him a package. Being almost always abroad for Omega, he usually ducked the UK tax, but they tripped him up somehow. And his reaction was unprincipled.
10 years ago? That's way before Corcoran's time. And surely if Makepeace was going to make a grand gesture, he'd have done it years ago. Louis Corcoran was sure this was something different. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but, well, he thinks it may not be company business at all, and an outsider might spot it. That's why he mentioned it to me.
Well, all I can say is I haven't smelled oil yet. Now, pan oil would be his best bet if he decided to go across the street, But I know for a fact they're on the prowl for him themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else. We've acquired some photos, despite Makepeace not liking his picture taken. I'll show them around here in Great Burden. The barman here at the Drover's Arms definitely recognizes him, but not as Matthews. He's positive he's a fairly frequent visitor, though. Similar build, similar looks, but two different people.
Now, that is interesting. Matthews and Makepeace. You know, I get the feeling they knew each other. Maybe this Matthews chap helped Makepeace disappear.
Well, I'll tell you what my interest in Matthews is, and it's this. If he's the chap I think he is, he's dead, all right. We've got a Matthew, James Matthews, on our files, who would fit the bill quite well. Worked for OMERC, a subsidiary based in Belgium, on the construction side. But he died out in East Africa. And he died 10 years ago.
Did he now? 10 years ago. And Belgium and East Africa again. Well done. Now let's work this out. Look, will you do me a favor? Have another check over those staff files. Find me an engineer or someone in construction, that sort of thing. He'd be similar build to Makepeace, much of an age, maybe a year or two older. Retired within the last 10 years, much more likely the last 5 or so. Probably lived in the Forest Hill area of London.
Yeah.
And also another little job. Find out as much as you can about a man called Wilkie Collins. Yes, did time in Wormwood Scrubs, probably for a confidence trick. Been out just under a year.
All right, Mr. Campion. I'll do that.
I'd be very interested in whatever you turn up. And then I think we'd better have a meeting with Corcoran and anyone else at Omega who knew Makepeace well. I think the time has come to pool our knowledge.
Well, that's just Miss Devnish to come and we can start. A personal secretary to the chairman. Been here more years than any woman would ever admit to in public. What she doesn't know about the top people in Omega isn't worth knowing.
Hmm. So long as that's your opinion and not hers.
All right, wouldn't matter. Come in. Ah, come in, Miss Devnish. Albert, this is Miss Devnish, Albert Campion.
Good afternoon, Mr. Campion.
You've met Mr. Lampeter, of course.
Yes, how do you do?
Good, we're all here. Right then, Lampeter, fire away.
Very good. We can start with what we know, which is that the man who died at the Drover's Arms isn't Makepeace.
Agreed.
The photos we have acquired have been shown around, and Makepeace has been recognized as a visitor, but definitely not the man they knew as Matthews. I've discovered the name of the owner of the car dumped at Brett Ness. It's registered in the name of Thomas McCarty. And as you know, Thomas McCarty retired from Omega 4 years ago when a medical check suggested a heart condition. The doctor at Great Burden recognized a photo as being that of a man he knew and treated, calling himself Matthew.
Now, this means McCarty died and Makepeace is still alive.
McCarty's dead, that much is certain. Makepeace is still with us. But there was a real Matthews. He was a lifelong friend of Makepeace, so much so that when he died 10 years ago, Makepeace was the executor of his estate. And there's a link between Makepeace and McCarty, who was a chief engineer on Omega exploration vessels. Makepeace was senior geologist at least twice when McCarty had been in the crew on long trips.
Hmm. All this suggests a partnership between McCarty and Makepeace, using the identity of the long-dead Matthews as a mutual cover.
Hmm. That's about it.
Hmm. Anything on the fat man, Porteous?
No, he's more my province. I came across him during my Whitehall days. Industrial espionage, but not for sale for himself. A manipulator on an international scale, mysterious, theatrical, obnoxious beyond limits, thoroughly disliked by anyone who's ever tangled with him. A dozen countries' governments would be overjoyed to see him come unstuck. Miss Devnish saw him yesterday.
From the description, must have been him. He was dining with Ewan Harcourt at Guido's.
Who is Ewan Harcourt, Miss Devnish?
Well, I suppose you could say he's the Pan Oil equivalent of Makepeace, really. He left Pan Oil to become a professor of geology at Cambridge about 3 years ago. But they have him on a retainer, even so, as a consultant.
Ah, yes, I think I can place him. Comes up on scientific TV programs occasionally.
That's it.
Round little man with a beard.
Yes, that's the man. Wonder what Porteous wanted with Harcourt.
Information about Makepeace, I presume. You know, this is rather disquieting. The inference is that Porteous has also established the connection between Makepeace, McCarty, and Matthews. Splendid trilogy. And the further inference is that Porteous knows that Makepeace is still alive. Anyway, any other developments?
Captain Wilberforce.
Who?
An old friend of mine who retired last year. Rang me up this morning to say he'd had a visit from a smooth-talking character called Collins. Set him off with a flea in his ear and rang me. Tried to pump him about a place called Grand Serendi.
Potter's Field. That place again.
What about it? You say it with a somewhat vigorous distaste.
I'm sorry, Mr. Campion. I cannot discuss company matters.
Albert is acting as a consultant. This could be important. You know the history of that affair better than most, Miss Devenish. Would you just give us a précis?
If you say I should, Mr. Corcoran. It was found by Sir Charles Potter and covers the area of the Grand Serendi Islands and the nearby East African mainland coast. We sent Delta Omega out 10 years ago with an exploration team. Makepeace was senior geologist, and Captain Wilberforce commanded the ship. There was political trouble, tropical storms, fever, even a mutiny, with 2 men dead and 1 injured for life. Now, to cap it all, Makepeace reported that all Potter had found was a tiny pocket, and that there'd been so much recent volcanic activity in the area that the strata was all upside down. It was a disaster, and we abandoned it, apart from holding on to the rights to take another look sometime for whatever that might be worth.
What might it be worth, Miss Devlin?
Well, we've always thought very little. But recently, you and Harcourt went on record as saying it was the last great unexploited field in the world.
Yes, I think I share Lampeter's feeling that Porteous isn't interested in oil.
Yes.
What was this about a mutiny?
Heat and boredom, I believe. And because of the political situation, the ship was anchored in international waters and there was no shore leave. Well, some men got very drunk. Somehow one of them had a pistol and shot one of his shipmates. And Captain Wilberforce acted with great courage. It was then that he and the chief engineer... Yes, of course. That was Thomas McCarty. Well, they saved the situation. But not before another man had a bullet in the spine and the captain was shot in the leg. Then the maniac jumped over the side and the sharks got him.
And Makepeace?
Oh, he wasn't on board. No, his contract renewal had only just been settled. He got to Port Bundy on the mainland the day before, but he didn't go out to the ship until 5 days later.
Is any of this relevant, Albert? All we really want is a 10-minute chat with Makepeace. Are we anywhere nearer finding him?
Someone thinks it's relevant, Lewis, hence the fuss they started. Can I pick up a point, Miss Devenish?
Yes.
What was that about a contract renewal?
With Makepeace, you mean?
Mm.
Oh, thoroughly distasteful episode. He made outrageous demands to try and recoup his tax losses out of the company. And he behaved like a spoiled schoolboy, I told him so.
Yes, I've heard mention of this run-in with the tax people.
It isn't the responsibility of the company to look after the employees' tax affairs. Nor should we be called names when we make our position clear on the matter.
By which I gather he was annoyed.
Oh, very.
Over this renewal, Makepeace would then have been about 55.
Mm.
Isn't that the age you normally retire field workers?
Mm.
How was it renewed?
No, he had no end of trouble. Went off into the blue without leaving a forwarding address except for his bank. And we had to correspond by cable through them. We made all sorts of concessions. Much against my better judgment, I might add. He was given a 5-year contract at a much greater salary, and he insisted on a lump sum of enormous size on retirement. Negotiations took months. It was deliberate impertinence. When it was all settled by the final cable, he went from wherever he was straight to Port Bundy.
How soon after that last cable did he get there?
Day or so, I think.
I see. I imagine his original contract would have expired on his 55th birthday. That's in February sometime, isn't it?
February the 7th, yes, it did.
When did he arrive in the Grand Serendi area?
No, that would have been first week in October, I think.
And presumably the renewal was backdated to the February.
It most certainly wasn't. He'd been holding us to ransom for 9 months and he hadn't done a stroke of work for us in all that time. I typed that contract out myself and I told him exactly why I dated it as I did. We'd been absurdly generous without backdating it as well.
Did he ask us to?
He was most abusive and threatening. But there was no reason to give him a gratuity for deliberately protracting the negotiation.
Damn it, woman. From February to October, that means he wasn't under contract. If that renewal wasn't backdated to make it absolutely continuous, Omega has no claim on him for anything he did or anything he found in that time.
and he gave us the chance and we turned it down.
We refused to be bullied.
He refused? You mean you refused? Well, understand one thing, Miss Devenish. The chairman's opinion is company policy. The chairman's secretary's opinion is nothing. Even if she's been in the job as many years as you have. Secretaries are only secretaries. They aren't in the chain of command.
There isn't enough air in here.
They don't make decisions.
Really, Mr. Cook, I am not accustomed to...
Good morning, Miss Devenish. Close the door on your way out.
Hugh, exit dragon on cloud of steam. Oh, dear, a little bit of a mess. Which brings us back to Makepeace. I'm getting an idea what this might be about now. Within a day or so of that final cable, Makepeace was in Port Bundy, which is in an area of very poor communications, so he must have been close. From what he left at his flat, and anyway well known as his hobby, we know he's a good skin diver. This suggests, perhaps, he was around the shoals off the Grand Serendi Islands. We've established that McCarty knew Makepeace. This is obvious, if only from their being together on the Grand Serendi trip. Morris J. is quite well known at the Droger's Arms. McCarty, calling himself Matthews, lived there, and Makepeace is known to be a visitor. Then there's Porteous. He's no ordinary crook himself, but he uses ordinary crooks to do his legwork. I met one of his errand boys by the name of Ginger Scott out of Brett. He gave me the name of Collins. Now, Collins turns up again, questioning Captain Wilberforce. Have you had time to get a line on him, Lambert?
Oh, I did find out a little. Clifford Jeremy Collins, known as Wilkie Collins. One conviction for a confidence trick, known to have a violent temper, thought to have been in far more trouble than has ever been proved in court. Smooth talker when he's calmed down, dresses well. My contacts at the Yard wouldn't put the Newgate murder past him, on balance. Been hired in cars lately and taken out a nice flat for his girlfriend. Here's a list of recent contacts and a photo.
Thanks. Ah, so that's Collins. Hello, there's a thing.
A name on the list surprises you. Edwin Lee Forsdyke.
Trading as Milburn Associates, the Piers pop shop, no less.
Oh, when the Piers had things to pop. But still a high-class pawnbroker, even today. Some people think that Forsdyke acquired the business for a very good reason, as a front. Word is, he's a fence.
Well, well, well. Thank you, Lampeter. You've been most thorough.
So, where do we go from here?
The one man we haven't investigated, Morris J., specialist in walnut and Dutch marquetry. Now, I could go to him, or with Lampeter's help, persuade him to come to me. Hello? Albert Campion speaking.
Mr. Campion, you do not know me, so I must introduce myself. My name is Morris J.
Of Knightsbridge, walnut and Dutch marquetry.
That is my special province. You and I appear to have interests in common. I wonder if you would consider discussing them.
I do have an affection for marquetry, I must say. Shall I drift along for a chat, or would you like to come here?
I prefer a place of my own choosing. I have a great dislike for people who pry into my affairs, and recently nearly every move I make has been spied upon. A man called Lampeter, whom I have seen in your company, has been irritatingly persistent. I would not care for his presence at our meeting.
That I will guarantee.
Thank you. Now, if you would come to a small restaurant in Bond Street, I have a private room.
Ah, Mr. Campion. Do come in.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. J.
Forgive my appearance. I had some difficulty on the way.
You had an accident?
No.
You were attacked?
A minor scuffle. I am bruised, but not injured.
Something of the sort happened once before. Any connection, or just the natural hazards of the trade?
You know that.
I read the papers.
I was attacked, not for money, but for information. On both occasions, I was searched, but not robbed. Not your people, I think.
Oh, certainly not my style at all.
No. Your approach is altogether more civilized. Could you declare your interest?
Yes. My problem is the late Mr. Matthews, or rather his partner, with whom I think you're in contact. I'd like to talk to him. Simple as that.
I think you should be more specific. There is a man called Porteous who is also spending time and money on this chest. The attack on me today. But that is hypothesis only. You know this man?
I've met him. I wonder if we're not at cross purposes. I need to find Mr. Makepeace for excellent reasons connected with his past employment. But I suspect that you have something quite different in mind.
You suspect?
Well, I'm curious, of course.
You really don't know. After all this prying into my affairs.
Well, I was hoping to find out. That's why I came.
In that case, I can only apologize for making an elementary mistake. If you don't know, then I have no intention of telling you. There are too many greedy fingers reaching out already. If your business and mine do not coincide, then I can neither help nor hinder you.
Miss Anthea Peregrine.
Miss
now.
Peregrine is quite safe, I assure you.
Your adventure tonight.
Miss Peregrine has nothing to fear. She was a messenger, that's all.
Then why is she in hiding?
Good day, Mr. Campion. I apologize for wasting your time.
My name is Peregrine. The bank manager is expecting me. I'm to give him a letter personally.
Of course, madam. This way.
Thank you.
Come in.
Miss Peregrine, sir.
Ah, Miss Peregrine. My name is Armitage.
How do you do?
I have the D-box here. May I first...
It's a letter.
Yes. Ah, thank you. Ah, splendid. That seems to be in order. Mr. Makepeace told me on the phone that you would know what you wanted. I'll just unlock the... there.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Makepeace is well? I haven't seen him for some time.
Well, he's very fit.
Ah.
I would like to make some notes. It may take me some time. I'll knock on your door when I've finished. Thank you, Mr. Armitage.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon to you. The name's Campion, and this is my friend, Mr. Lampeter. We're booked in for the night.
Yes, sir. I'll take you to your rooms. There is a message for you, actually. Yes, here it is.
Ah, thank you. How very interesting. Lampeter, we come to the Drover's Arms looking for Makepeace, and who do we find instead?
Porteous presents his compliments, drinks tonight at the Fisher's Mill Inn.
Why not, eh? Not you, Lampeter, by the way. The invitation is just for me. How very flattering.
Ah, Campion, isn't it? Not expecting me at all, were you? Here I am, though. Large as life.
Mr. Makepeace, I presume. Or are you being Mr. Matthews again today?
One and the same, old sport. Look, what can I get you?
Brandy and soda will suit nicely.
Brandy and soda, Larry, and a whiskey for me. Will you bring them over? Shall we sit over there?
Yes.
Right now. Sorry to bring you here under false colours, but you weren't at the Drover's Arms when I rang. The chap there would have had a fit if I said Matthews. So I said Porteous. Pretty sure they'd fetch you. Didn't want to use my real name, though. Brought the hounds of hell, what?
Said hounds, being renowned for their curiosity over such mysteries as disappearing people who desire to stay disappeared.
The Omega pack in full cry. But I don't see why they called you in.
Grit in the computer.
Not bad, eh? But not quite right. Omega's a cold-hearted octopus with so much money it's indecent. But in this case, not even that. False pride and a woman in love. Devilish.
I've met the lady.
Have you, but Joe? Let me tell you something. She eats, drinks, breathes, and goes to bed with Omega. There's 30 years of her life wrapped up in its entrails, and in her eyes, Omega is never wrong. In senior personnel matters, she's the one that feeds that computer. Feeds it or fails to, whichever fits her gibbering infatuation. Ah, thanks, Larry. Keep it.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
I gather you refer to the Grand Serendi affair and a little matter of a contract renewal.
You've been doing your homework. Look, how well do you know this man Corcoran?
By way of being a long-standing personal friend.
Couldn't be better. Give him a message for me, will you? Tell him to call off the pack. Omega and I owe each other nothing, and I want nothing more to do with them. I'm not hawking their precious secrets around, if that's what they're afraid of, but anything might happen unless I'm left alone. Is that clear?
Every dulcet phrase. I shall deliver it personally. But tell me, why not say this from the outset? Why create such a mystery?
Yeah, they wouldn't have listened. Work for them, they think they own you. Just wanted to vanish in my own sweet way, then poor Tom McCarty went and snuffed it, and I was right in the soup.
And the Matthews business?
Discouraging nosy Parkers. Anybody wanting to spy on Matthews at Great Burden would discover that his forwarding address was at Brett. If they got as far as Brett, they'd have found an entirely different Matthews. Back to square one.
So you and McCarty were doing the old substitution trick after all. Two people using a third person's name. And Miss Peregrine?
Mm. For little Falcon. Darling girl, isn't she? Lovely child. That damn boat, you know. Read about it when they found it. Always been interested, so I went down there. I know quite a bit about ancient Greece and Rome. Got a lot of amphorae. Yes. Oh. Pots, jars, you know. Found them diving in the Med. Well, I may look pickled, but I'm not entirely drowned in oil and oil alone, you know.
And when you found out she had a cottage to let, that suited your plans nicely, eh? Yes, I can see that now. Look, don't take this the wrong way. We're neither of us little boys. Just how fond of the gal are you,
Frank? Now, look here, you... Well, like you say, we had children. No, nothing like that. Pretty thing, but strictly my landlady. Oh, God help anyone I ever found who did her down. I'd break his skull in 5,000 pieces, you know what I mean? This dog may be old, but it still owns its own teeth.
But you're not worried about putting her at risk for yourself.
She's just a messenger, that's all.
I've heard that before.
With Tom McCarty gone, she knew I was up to some game and I needed someone to run the odd errand for me. Don't worry, she's keeping low.
Good evening, gentlemen. I apologize for my intrusion.
Mr. J, what a surprise.
I had expected to find you.
With Porteous. A very natural error. I made it myself. I take it you know one another.
Strange to relate. We've never met.
Mr. Makepeace?
Jay.
Ah, I presume it was the other Mr. Matthews who took an interest in antiques.
I knew the late Mr. Matthews quite well.
And you thought our friend here would be dining with Porteous, huh?
I wanted to keep an eye on the opposition.
Did you come alone, Mr. Jay?
Yes. Why?
Well, I was just wondering. We are under observation by two characters who don't fit into the scene.
Oh, my God.
You've met them, have you?
Yes. Forgive me. I've had some experience of physical violence, and it terrifies me. I could not endure a repetition.
In that case, I'd better ask them what they're after. Excuse me.
Oh, I love you.
Come in, Mr. Campion. Come in, gentlemen.
Good evening, Mr. Porteous.
Mr. Collins, be so kind as to close the door behind these gentlemen as you leave and wait till your colleague gets instructed.
Yes, Mr. Porteous.
Good. Now we're alone. We're not strangers, Mr. Jay. Everything all right? Well, I take it that I now meet Mr. Francis Makepeace at last. You do? Why are you still nosing around, huh? I made it clear a long time ago I would never deal with the likes of you. I hope I may persuade you otherwise. Shall we have a short conference? Like hell. I only came up here to tell you to clear off. We have certain mutual interests, and they should be discussed. Please be seated.
Mr. Campion really doesn't know what this is all about.
Then he will make an ideal witness, Mr. Jay. He can report back to Omega that none of their secrets are being traded.
You're just asking to have your skull bashed in.
Don't try my patience with schoolboy epithets. Eventually, you will strike a bargain with me. You have no option. I am currently drawing up the agreement. It will be immensely profitable to you, to Mr. Jay as the informed intermediary, and, of course, to me. We're all greedy men. It only remains to decide what share each of us shall have. But before it is signed, I, for one, require, shall we call it, the ultimate proof. I have no intention of being the victim of a gigantic swindle. I require that proof, and I have taken steps to ensure that I get it. Is that clear?
What's that supposed to mean?
Do you see that orange scarf on the coffee table? Perhaps you may recognize it.
I'd like to have a closer look at it, if you don't mind.
Pray do. Now, Mr. Makepeace, that scarf is, I assure you, the property of a young lady of your acquaintance.
She is, well, staying with friends of mine at the moment, I believe.
Do you mean you've gone and... I've a good mind.
If you've a good mind, use it. My friends outside will see I come to no harm. Both of you are elderly. Jay is timid. And they are not particular how hard they hit. You have 2 days to produce the required proof. When it is available for inspection, you will put a personal advertisement in the Times. You will say that the iron is hot. Got that? The iron is hot. And give a telephone number. I will then make my arrangements.
Go to hell!
Young people these days, they take drugs, drive irresponsibly. Shocking accidents happening all the time.
If anything happens to her, what makes you think I'd ever do business with you? There's a score of people I could go to without even thinking. I turned you down when I first heard about you. Now I know how damned right I was.
A score of others without thinking? Then why not start thinking? I can tell you now that the first dozen might easily lead back to me. And the remaining 8 quite possibly also. You would merely lose a slice of your share to a proliferation of middlemen. You imagine yourself as some latter-day Don Quixote tilting at the giant corporations. To me, you're just a fool. I have set in motion certain apparently unconnected wheels to guard against misfortune. Should that machinery fail to remain under my personal continuous control, the results of it running wild will be, distressing. I am going to France tonight, and I shall be back in 2 days. That is the limit of my tolerance.
2 days, 2 years, 2,000. You don't bluff me!
Everything all right, Mr. Porteous? Need any help?
No, quite all right. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Quite all right. As you see, my friends are within earshot. They will see that you do not leave for the next 5 minutes. Well, I'm leaving now, and I don't really... Where is Mr. Campion?
I have no idea.
What?
Well, he went over to examine that scarf. He didn't come back this way. He quietly ducked out of that connecting door over there. It never occurred to me that I should stop him.
I see. And what, Albert, are the conclusions you draw from this?
I can make an informed guess. I think that in the unfortunate gap which has escaped the Omega records, Makepeace went off on a geological expedition of his own. I think he discovered something.
Discovered something?
A diamond field. A very large one.
Now, if that bloody woman Devonish had backdated his contract, there would have been a very nice windfall for Omega. Blast it. Well. He teamed up with McCarty to explore the market.
Exactly. And McCarty discovered Jay, who, I suspect, uses his antiques business as a front for illegal diamond dealing.
And Jay, in turn...
must have been a little indiscreet. Somehow, Porteous got a smell of something and moved in for his percentage.
Poor Makepeace.
Yes, he's floundering in very deep water, deeper and dirtier than he realizes. And the sharks who swim in those parts are on the large side.
So Omega...
doesn't enter into it.
I see. Thank you, Albert.
Not at all.
And that's the end of that, as far as Omega's concerned.
The Times?
Ah, I'd like to place an advertisement, please, in your personal column. It's just a few words. The iron is hot.
Beg your pardon?
You took a great risk putting it in so soon. It hasn't been easy.
Yet you've got the commodity.
Oh, I... managed it in the end. I had to go well over your figure, though. It's a seller's market, and the commodity is comparatively rare.
Nobly done. I'd have been lost without your help. Thank you.
Oh, no thanks, please. I feel very guilty about the whole business. Porteous is capable of, well, anything. And with the girl in the hands of his friends, I...
Thank you anyway. I've not heard from him, by the way. When I do, can I find you at your gallery?
I suppose I am essential. My reputation is easily damaged, and the violence...
Well, your presence is vital. It's your wisdom and authority we need, not your strong right arm. Besides, I foresee an almost gentlemanly transaction. And now I must return to my flat. There's a telephone call I'd hate to miss. Albert Campion.
Mr. Campion?
Mr. Porteous.
I assume I'm addressing you as an agent in this matter.
I observed the newspaper message, but the telephone number is not what I anticipated. Do you speak with authority?
I do, and I have something of interest to show you.
Good. Excellent. But can you guarantee the essential cooperation to go with it?
My instructions are not to resist you in any way.
I warn you, I will brook no delay, and I am prepared and guarded against subterfuge. The result of any trickery would be unpleasant. Do I make myself clear?
Beyond question.
Ah, then we may proceed. Now, I'm in Antwerp at present, and I shall remain here until tomorrow. My suggestion is that we meet at Great Burton at the Drover's Arms at 6 tomorrow evening. I shall be accompanied by my chauffeur, and Jay will also attend, of course. If he's nothing else, he's relatively honest, and he does have an interest in the transaction. Makepeace will be signing an exceptional deal.
I doubt if Makepeace could bring himself to speak to you. After the histrionics of the last meeting, I'd prefer that he was excused. We can do without his hysterical outburst of temperament, I think. At the same time, he has a sense of schoolboy honor. He'll hold to anything to which I pledge him.
I'm glad to hear it.
There remains one further matter.
Miss Peregrine?
Exactly.
Miss Peregrine will be on her way to you as of the next telephone call I make. Unharmed, I assure you. Should you wish her to attend our meeting tomorrow, that will also be quite acceptable. Good day to you, Mr. Camden.
And a very good day to you, Mr. Porteous.
Mr. Campion?
My dear Miss Peregrine, we meet at long last. Do come in. Do come in.
Thank you.
Now, let's see if we can sort you out. Are you hungry, by any chance?
Oh, thanks, no. Full of sandwiches, actually. But drink?
Of course. What do you fancy?
Gin and tonic?
Fine. Now, just sit back and tell me all. What was it like being a guest of Mr. Porteous?
Well, not very nice.
I imagine not. Any idea where you were?
London somewhere. A flat. Probably a large block. But I couldn't tell you anything more than that. I was a bit dopey most of the time.
One gin and tonic.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And when did they let you out?
Oh, a couple of hours ago. It was already dark. They bundled me up in blankets, smuggled me into a car, and then dumped me in Regent's Park by the zoo.
The litter problem gets worse and worse.
Well, I staggered out of the park, found a cafe and had a cup of tea, and then started phoning. I finally tracked down Maurice Jay.
And Mr. Jay?
Was horridly cagey. Not at all what you'd call cooperative. But he did advise me to get in touch with you.
And here you are.
Here I am.
Do you know what's going on?
Only that Matt is in trouble.
Matty being Mr. Makepeace?
Yes.
And you ran some errands for him, hmm?
Well, he needed someone.
Yeah?
I'd gone to the Drover's Arms to clear up his estate, I thought, and I met Porteous there. He showed me Matty's briefcase with a secret compartment and told me that £1,250 was missing from it. Then he said that Matty wore a wig, which wasn't true. Anyway, I went back to my room, and there he was. Matty, himself, alive. But all the bubbles had gone out of him.
And the money?
Oh, well, Matty had burgled himself. He thought he was going to manage everything on his own, so he sneaked the £1,250 from the briefcase. But then, well, you've met Matty by now, I suppose.
Yes, I have.
He loves playing games, but not by himself. So when I saw him there, flat, lost, no one to play with, I asked if I could help.
And all the bubbles came back.
Right. Well, he sent me to London to his bank with authorization to open a deposit box. He wanted a little wash leather bag he kept in the box. It was all sealed up, but I could feel something inside it, about the size of a pea. And so the penny dropped. Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the silly old fool. I used to think he was a splendid old pirate, but now I doubt if he's got a grain of sense in him anywhere.
Yes, you're probably right, and it worries me. I've done something without his knowledge, you see, and I rather wonder how he's going to react.
Mmm, that smells delicious.
Good morning. Slept well, have you?
Oh, very comfortably. Made a nice change, I can tell you. Well, what are we having?
I rather fancied kidneys for breakfast. Any objection?
Perhaps a tomato, too?
It shall be done.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, we've had a letter. Your dear old Matty has reacted. On the table there, have a look.
Yes. Dear Mr. Jensen, I make
your damn piece in the paper. Oh, what was that?
A message saying we'd cooperate with Porteous.
Nothing would induce me... That greasy crook.
Crook! Boy's own paper brought to life.
I see. Your threats are quite meaningless. I've never been dictated to in my life. All your smooth swindles have been useless. You'll never get away with it. Oh, dear, dear.
Yes, he does rather let go, doesn't he?
Was Porteous, in fact, threatening to rough me up?
Didn't you know?
Well, I got a good idea. So, it was after your damn piece appeared in the paper that I was released.
Kidneys, tomato, toast.
Nice to know Matty was so worried about me.
Ah, well, bark and bite, eh? Go on, eat your breakfast. There's a lot to do today before we keep our appointment at the Drover's Arms.
Well, I must commend you upon your security arrangements, Mr. Campion. Safeguard Security, one of the better organizations. And now that their men have gone and the door is locked, I am impatient. Miss Peregrine, sit over there, will you? Now, kindly open the chest, Mr. Campion, if you please.
Your ultimate proof.
Tell me about this. The weight, the quality, the possibilities. Oh, I am impressed. I require an informed opinion, Mr. Jay.
I first saw the stone last night. Made a thorough examination.
Yes?
It's a fine white, as were the other stones I've handled for Mr. Makepeace. Uncut, it weighs 2,112 carats.
Oh, no.
About 1,000 less than the Cullinan when it was first found. As to what can be made of it,
Yes.
Well, one must allow for the loss in cutting and polishing, but there should be at least two important stones and a number of lesser ones. As to value, it's imponderable, quite outside my usual sphere.
My consortium will handle such details. Mr. Campion, can you empower me to handle the transaction? Do you have unquestioned authority?
I do. May I peruse the agreement being offered?
You will, of course, consider this a provisional contract. I will now want the exclusive handling of this stone vested in me. And I require, here and now, the exact location of the field.
I have with me a note of the exact latitude and longitude of origin of this pretty thing. Incidentally, I have an interest in one or two companies who might be able to assist you with some of the equipment such an enterprise would require.
Well, that's a matter worthy of...
Everyone keep very still. Absolute silence now.
Collins! I told you to stay outside.
Shut up. You, Jay, hand me the diamond and don't try anything. Anyone else moves, I'll shoot the bird.
No! Collins!
That's right. That's what we want. That's it.
The spray. My pocket.
Still, I said, don't move. All right, Jay, get back over there. Now, everyone on the floor. Go on, move.
My spray.
Now, no trouble. No one moves for one whole minute, right? No one moves.
Right. Mr. Campion, my pocket. Left. Spray.
All right. All right. Relax if you can. I've got it. There you are.
Is he going to die?
It's asthmatic collapse. Obviously severe. He'll need a doctor, certainly.
Well, here we are, Albert.
Oh, hello, Charlie. Everything under control?
Yes. You all right?
We're fine, but Porteous, as you see.
Right. Sergeant, see if you can locate a doctor, quick as you can.
Albert, who's this man?
My old friend Charlie Luke, of the Yard, as Mr. Makepeace would no doubt say. Miss Peregrine, Mr. Jay. You got friend Collins all right, Charlie?
Walked straight into us.
Splendid.
Took a bit of a risk, didn't you, Albert? Suppose he got away with the diamond. Must be worth a king's ransom.
Well, it is rather pretty.
Actually, it's a very nice piece of quartz crystal. Came from a gravel pit in Surrey. Expensive of its kind, but setting up that security guard cover probably cost your organization more than Ominger will have to pay for owning that little bauble. Can I leave you to tidy up? There are sheaves of paper for you, and I'm sure Mr. J's conversation will be highly entertaining. As for Porteous here, well, why should I waste my breath? Come along, Miss Peregrine. It's a long drive to Brett, but let's see if I can get you home before midnight. Have you got your breath back yet?
I'm bewildered. The place suddenly swarmed with policemen.
That's because I'm a very mean, penny-pinching sort of chap.
Mean? You?
Oh, extremely. I pay quite a goodly sum every year in taxes. A lot of that money goes to pay for the police. I want value for all that money I pay away. So when I think I can help them, I have a word. Those safeguard security men this evening were, in fact, policemen. And that security box was a high-powered transmitter. And every word we said in that room was received outside.
Fantastic. And did you know about Collins as well?
Hmm? Well, we knew he was in the hotel. But when he pulled that stunt, frankly, I was stunned for the moment. And so was Porteous. One couldn't fake a collapse that well. Porteous just wanted him handy in case he needed the strong-arm stuff again, but he never suspected Collins to try that sort of thing.
Some horrible man.
Shan't ask you which one you meant. It may be possible to nail Collins for the murder of that, hotelier fellow, Max Nugent, of course, but whether there's enough on Porteous, difficult to say. Still, if Charlie Luke doesn't get him sent down, if them people want to try, intimidation, kidnapping, something like that.
And Matty?
Ah, well, Matty is a smuggler, I'm afraid. That isn't legal in anyone's language. Her Majesty's Commissioners of Customs and Excise have already been informed and are extremely interested. It's now a matter of us finding Matty before they do.
But where's he got to?
Well, I've got a hunch. Remember the Roman ship at Brett?
Yes.
Now, Matty was really interested in that. I remember thinking at the time that archaeology was a very fusty sort of hobby for Matty, the boy Francis, to take up. So perhaps there was another reason. Quietly now. We don't want to disturb anyone.
I can see a light.
What? Where?
Across the earthworks. There.
It's in the shed alongside the excavation.
Mightn't it be
Who?
A curator or someone?
Oh, this time of night. They've locked up and gone home ages ago. Come on. Mr. Makepeace?
What are you doing here?
I've come for a chat. I brought my little falcon with me.
Finished your deals over my property, have you? Think you're going to collect it, eh? Looking for a nice fat fee, hmm?
Matty, please.
Turned you loose with no trouble, I see. All that fuss, kidnapping, I knew perfectly well.
Mr. Makepeace, I'd rather talk about your property, I think you called it. Somewhere in this shed, is it?
Keep away, Campion.
In that rather nice, capacious amphora, perhaps? You do seem somewhat possessive about it. May I see?
Like hell.
Oh, come, I assure you I have no designs on it. My fat fee has already been paid by Omega. I would just like to indulge my curiosity a little and see the cause of all this hectic activity. May I?
All right. There.
That's it.
Yes, that's it.
But they're so dull, so unimpressive.
They're diamonds.
Yes, so they are. And now, Mr. Makepeace, I'm going to give you a lecture on the virtues of orthodoxy, following which we shall have a good night's sleep and then return to London in the morning.
London?
You have two meetings tomorrow, Mr. Makepeace. One is with an old-fashioned, uncompromising safe deposit box, and the other is with a friend of mine in Her Majesty's Customs. I think we may persuade them to take a lenient view.
Mr. Campion's Falcon by Philip Youngman Carter was dramatized for radio by Eddie Joy. William Fox was Mr. Campion, and Felix Felton was Mr. Porteous. Anthea Peregrine was played by Caroline John, Miss Devenish by Catherine Parr, Makepeace by Edward Kelsey, and Morris J. by William Eadle. Corcoran was played by Rolf Lefevre, Lampeter by David Neal, Newgate by Brian Haynes, Scott and Collins by Martin Friend, and Appleyard by Peter Tottenham. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Mr. Campion Spoken was produced by John Theocaris.